Do it.
It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What's up, everybody? It is your boy, sleepy-eyed, crusty-eyed, Isaac Ike Feldman. Your boy, joined by my boy, Mr. Matt Slater, MMA, on Instagram, at M Slater MMA, and now on Twitter. Well, formerly known as Twitter. Now he is
officially on Twitter, boys and girls.
X.com. Send him all those DMs. Slide into those DMs. M. Slater, MMA. Mr. Matthew Slater. We're about to be joined by my other boy, Francisco Guzman. He's running late. This is all my fault. I take full responsibility and blame. But we'll be joined by Mr. Francisco Guzman in just a few. First and foremost, Matthew. Formalities. How you doing, my brother?
Fantastic, brother. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm getting better each and every minute. The coffee is brewing upstairs. I could smell it. But dude, we're talking fights. I don't need any caffeine. I don't need any performance enhancer to talk fights, combat sports. It's a big UFC pay-per-view day. Long Island Zone representing. Man, how you feeling? I'm trying to like express to my family how anxious I get on these fight days. Like, it's just like, I played golf once. I held a golf club above my head. Like I was like Joey Bautista about to break it over my knee. My brother's like, don't break my driver. Don't break my driver. I go, ah, it's just Ally Quinto was fighting that day versus Cowboy a couple of years back.
Oh man. I remember that fight. That was,
I get antsy on these days and nobody understands, but I feel like somebody like yourself could relate.
Oh, 100%, man. I mean, not to bring it back to Terrence Crawford again, but like that Crawford-Spence fight, man, I was shaking. I just knew it was going to be incredible. Tonight, same thing, man. I got to give Sean O'Malley credit. You know, I really, really, just to start this off, I got to say, don't sleep on that guy striking. If his takedown defense is where it needs to be, tonight's going to be a good fight.
Repeat that one more time. You said you want Sean O'Malley to win.
You know, I got to be honest. Like, I've known Aljo for a decade now. He's an interesting character, but you know, when you know a fighter, when you've rolled with somebody, you're always rooting for them.
That's right. That's right, man. It's that for me. This is Conor versus Khabib 2.0, similar. But
I'll give you that. Yeah, totally.
Sean O'Malley's a sniper. You know, we're hearing that. Don't give him that opportunity. You know, don't placate to the crowd. Don't placate to, like, have fun. Go in there, run through the finish line, and, in my opinion, become the greatest bantamweight of all time. I mean, does Dominic Cruz stack up? Yeah. But if Aljamain Sterling dominates, if it's a close decision, then I think if he dominates, he staples himself as the greatest bantamweight of all time.
I think that the conversation is going to open up a lot more. Right now we have, I mean, like, I don't know if you looked at the card for tonight, but it's very bantamweight heavy. And you got some really, really great fighters. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard this conversation come up recently, but it's this whole idea of entering the end of an era. You see a lot of the fighters we came up with retiring now, you know, like Aldo retired last year, right? So I'm really more excited about this next generation of fighters than I am watching the ends of these careers. Who do I want to win this fight? I would love to see Sean O'Malley win this fight. I love Aljo, though, so I'm rooting for him. But I would love to see that next generation start coming into the limelight, you know?
Man, are you kidding me, man? You grew up probably 20 minutes away from Aljamain Sterling, man.
Literally 40 minutes away from that guy.
Jeez. And Sean O'Malley has captivated you that much? This is nuts, man.
It's about the health. It's about the health of the sport. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's better for the sport if you see somebody like Sean O'Malley coming into his own this early in his career.
Do you play blackjack?
Not much, but I have.
Do you, I believe, is it the term double down when you split eights?
Yes.
Okay. In my opinion, this could be splitting eights. If we're looking at it strictly from the health of the sport or the business of the sport, Aljamain Sterling wins, vacates. He won't say vacate like Connor. He's going to hold the belt at the press conference. He vacates the bantamweight title, moves up to face Volkanovski. We'll see how that plays out.
And I wouldn't do that if I were him.
You get Sean O'Malley in another title fight against, it could be Corey Sandhagen versus Sean O'Malley. That could be freaking amazing. It could be Henry Cejudo versus Sean O'Malley. That could be freaking amazing. You get Sean O'Malley again in a title fight. This guy has never gone five rounds.
Well, and again, like this is why I said, like, if Sean O'Malley's takedown defense is on point, you're going to see a completely new fighter out there in the ring. You know what I mean? Because, like what's Henry Cejudo going to do to Sean O'Malley if Sean O'Malley can stuff his takedowns?
Okay, yes. If Sean O'Malley is stuffing Aljamain Sterling, it's going to be a long night for the Nassau native, 100%. But can somebody get to Aljamain Sterling's level? Because where did he wrestle, D2 or D3?
He wrestled up at Cortland, I believe.
Are they D2?
Or D1? I think they're D2. I'm pretty sure it's D2. I can look it up real quick.
My point is that he is much better than that young 18, 19, 20-year-old that wrestled at Cortland. I would say that he's probably now elevated. He's probably brown belt level. If we're looking at Khabib as the number one wrestler, GSP, the number one wrestler in MMA of all time, I would say Aljamain Sterling's a tier below. Kamaru Usman is a tier below. But that goes to show that how much he's improved since his college days. Look at Ally Quinta. You can improve your wrestling even if your post-high school career, post-college career. Ally Quinta went five rounds, shook off two or three of Khabib's takedown offense, and on paper, Ally Quinta is like incomparable. I don't even know if that's a word. This is how early it is compared to Khabib. My point is, Aljamain Sterling, man, he took down an Olympic gold medalist. Yes, it was in MMA. Yes, there's a cage wall. There is no walls in the Olympic arena. But my point is, do you think Sean O'Malley has prepared for this day in the last 10 months, or do you think his
and that's why I think Aljo's just gonna body lock him and break his ribs. I think Aljo said that in an interview, and it was so spot on to what I believe. Like, I don't think that O'Malley really has like the strength that's required to fight with somebody like Aljamain Sterling.
Do long guys ever have the strength? I mean, is John Jones just the anomaly? Like, because look at Anderson Silva. He was like a flop tart. If you just did like a behind the thigh and like an over the shoulder, like he goes down like spaghetti hitting the boiling water.
Yeah. I mean, it's another really good question. It's like, you can point out somebody like Israel Adesanya, right? Like, just he's got incredible takedown defense for somebody that relies so heavily on kickboxing as a general form of combat, right? So, like, you also have to keep in mind that Israel Adesanya is insanely strong for being as lanky as he is. You know, I don't know if you remember, like, the Paulo Costa fight, but I thought Paulo Costa was just going to pick him up and throw him all over the place. And he absolutely handled all of that pressure. And you can't do that if you're not reasonably strong.
Fun fact, Paulo Costa and I are both on the same coherent level that he was for UFC. I think it was 254 or 253 a couple of years back. Did you ever hear the story? He was in Abu Dhabi, so it's a big time difference from Brazil or wherever he trains, and he goes, I drink one glass of wine, I couldn't fall asleep. I drink two glasses of wine, I can't fall asleep. I drink a full bottle of wine, I'm drunk, I can't fall asleep. He was drunk going into the cage for his title fight.
That sounds like something a Paulo Costa type personality would do. Seems like something that guy would do, like, yeah.
But I'm pushing through it. I'm pushing through it right now. My point is, is Sean O'Malley have that level of strength that Israel Adesanya has? I mean, going by what we see, man, I mean, it's 10 months. Is the UFC, like, is Jeff Nowitzki and USADA putting stuff in his smoothies every day? Because I don't see the strength being there. I think he was taken down 4 to 6 times against Peter Yan.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you made a really, really good point about levels of wrestling. And I don't think the general public understands just how strong Aljamain Sterling's wrestling really is. And again, it's like everybody knows he's definitely one of the best in the division, if not best in the division. But it still just doesn't translate. He doesn't have any like real wrestling competition aside from Cejudo, right? So it's an interesting conversation to say the least. But I don't think that Sean O'Malley has what it takes to stop that onslaught. You know, if he lands something, and again, I might've mentioned this to you, I don't know if I did or not, but, you really need to watch for, Aljamain Sterling's drop step. He has this terrible habit of dropping his hands when he drops in for a step. He's going to get caught with a knee. He gets caught with a knee in every fight. So you really just got to watch out for that.
And what we got to watch out is for Francisco Guzman of MMA Mundial. Francisco, Matt.
That's Matt. Francisco. How you doing, Matt?
How you doing, brother? It's a pleasure to meet you.
Good.
You too. We didn't get the memo. It is Hawaiian shirt. We should have done a Hawaiian shirt.
Yo, for real. Like, yo, let me go change my shirt, bro. Come on.
It's late night. Get the shirt.
He's like in vacation mode over there.
Hell yeah. I'm going to the beach right after this.
Oh, nice.
Look at that.
Rogan says, he goes, if you wear a Hawaiian shirt, you're automatically more relaxed than if you weren't. And I agree with that. Matt seems casual, man. He's probably got whiskey in the coffee already.
A little early for that.
Matt, are you able to give us some play-by-play about your night last night on the town?
No, I am not able to do that until
all right, well, then maybe.
You know what? Once we're off the live stream, I'll give you a little breakdown.
Ladies, slide into his DM at m.slater MMA on Instagram. And now, newly, he beat you, Francisco. I've been telling you for like 2 months now. Matt made a Twitter last night, or an X.com.
I did make a Twitter. I forgot to tell you. It's called The Real Frankie Knuckles.
Oh, wait.
Knuckles 360. Yeah. That's
Frankie Knuckles 360. I like it.
Hell yeah. I'll have you, brother.
And Matt.
I had to. I mean, I was getting hounded by Ike over here, you know?
That's what did it to me. He was like, oh, you put the screen on your Twitter. I was like, okay.
You know, dude, I would wake up in the morning and be like, what the fuck? You know, so I had to do it, man.
Somebody's got to be on it.
Yeah.
I was like, it's the first of the month. I'm like, make a Twitter. It's the first. Okay, anyway. Francisco, we're talking about Sean O'Malley. And, dude. Matt grew up like 30 minutes from Aljamain Sterling, and he's saying it's healthier for the sport. He's giving you all this blah, 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 Sean O'Malley. I go, what? I go, dude, you better hope Aljo doesn't hear this, Francisco. And Francisco, we talked last night, Matt, and he goes, how's Sugar Boy getting it done? I go, stop. I go, you're playing with me, Francisco.
I don't think he is, but I mean, I think it would be healthier for the sport. I think it would be better to have like that new blood coming up, right?
But you know, I will say this much. I'm not sleeping on O'Malley.
Me neither.
I'm just saying, I'm not sleeping on O'Malley, okay? And I think a lot of us are, because Aljamain has looked good, but he's struggled in some fights, okay? And one thing about Aljamain has been knocked out before.
Yes.
So we got to remember that.
Yeah, his chin is questionable.
He's good. He's a great fighter, no doubt. But he can, if he's touched right, he will go to sleep. And O'Malley has that fit, that has that sleeper. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so, he also has that IQ. I mean, if you look at like Sean O'Malley's like setups, the way he gets knockdowns is just insane.
Didn't he do a grappling match recently, O'Malley?
I think he did.
I saw him like submit somebody recently in some grappling.
He like got like a triangle and then turned it into an armbar.
Did he look like he was wearing a red shirt or something, red or white?
No, he was wearing a gi.
He was wearing a gi.
I Yeah, he was wearing a gi. Yeah, he was competing. I mean, it was a grappling competition. It wasn't an MMA. It was a jiu-jitsu, I believe.
Okay.
And he submitted a guy. If I find it, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, but I'm a guy.
I'm saying though, it looked like he's been working on his grappling. Especially for this fight, being that Al Jermaine's, forte is to grapple.
Can he level up that much in 10 months?
We don't know if it's been 10 months. We don't know how long he's been working on it to assume it's been 10 months, you know?
Well, and it really depends on the camp. There are just some camps that are way better at wrestling out there. Top Team is insane. Like, if he was training with like real wrestlers out there.
Look at Volkanovski, right? He wasn't supposed to be as competitive against Islam the way he was. And he was able to at least he couldn't stop the takedowns, but he was able to fend off Islam. So
Well, and I think that ties into exactly what I'm looking for from Sean O'Malley. It's that takedown defense. If he doesn't have the takedown defense, he doesn't have
a shot. He takes that take. He's able to defend those takedowns, bro. It's going to be a different night for Al Jermaine. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And a point I was making just before you hopped on, if you look at like clips from Al Jermaine Sterling's last few fights, he has a very predictable drop step. He's very obvious on his drop step. He doesn't really cover it up. And he gets caught with a fucking knee every time he enters.
Notice that.
Look at the Jan fights. He got caught with a knee in both of those fights. I'm like, I don't even mean the illegal knee. He got caught with knees that whole time. It's very lucky he didn't get knocked out for real, you know?
That is a great
I will say this much. I think what's kept Al Jermaine winning is his coaching. They have great coaches. Because you look at the first fight with Jan versus second one, he was a different fighter, right?
Yep.
So hopefully they got the right strategy against O'Malley. And O'Malley definitely has to have takedown defenses there. Grappling is going to be what Al Jermaine is going to try to pull out on O'Malley. Because striking, it's not going to be a good idea to strike with O'Malley. He's taller, he's rangier, and he can land just about anything if you're not careful.
Now,
it's funny. Like I always say, don't sleep on Aljamain Sterling's hands. But like in this situation, like I'm all for that. Take him down immediately. Play your grappling game. Why are you going to trade with this guy? He's so slick.
Yeah,
you're just going to get caught.
When you got a guy that tall, that rangy, and got power like that, you want to take that away by smothering him, and that's really what Aljamain needs to do. Make this a wrestling match like GSP, right? GSP got 100%. Knocked out twice. I mean, he got knocked out by Matt Serra. He became a different fighter. You know,
that was like one of the craziest moments in my whole life watching that shit happen. Dude. I couldn't believe that.
Dude. But it made GSP better.
It did. It made him a smarter fighter.
Now, speaking of smart athletes, I heard this quote, maybe it's from Jim Gray, maybe it's from Joe Rogan, that if you put a golf club in Floyd Mayweather's hand, he would smack it. No, he would. If you put a golf club in Floyd Mayweather's hand, he'd be professional top tier golfer. You put a golf club in Tom Brady's hand, he'd be professional top tier golfer. We've obviously seen crossover athletes with Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, that maybe if they just focused on something a little more time, they can grow that skill set. My point is, I think it's a little easier to incorporate takedown defense as opposed to chain wrestling or takedown offense like a Khabib or like a Frankie Edgar, that it's easier to be like an Anderson Silva or a Jose Aldo when it comes to takedown defense. So is Sean O'Malley that type of athlete, that top tier thinker? Like, is he on that Cejudo Sterling fight? And guys, we could find out. I could ask you the same thing Sunday, and you'd be like, "Yes, he is," or "No way in hell he is." Do you believe that Sean O'Malley can apply that Fortnite type of brain to his takedown defense? Matt, first with you.
Well, there are two schools of thought, right? Do we go into training camps trying to perfect what we're good at, or do we go and focus on what we're deficient at? Right.
Well, I would say he knew Al Jermaine was the target.
Mm-hmm.
A wrestler was a target, even when Cejudo was. So he knew he was facing a wrestler.
And an intelligent training camp for Sean O'Malley would have been heavy, heavy focus on takedown defense. We don't know if that's what he's been doing or not. He could have just been working on tactics and, you know, maybe he just assumed he wasn't going to catch up to that wrestling level defensively, right? So maybe he's looking to set traps on those shots. Yeah, and that's what I mean when I say Sean O'Malley's a very intelligent fighter. If he thinks he's not going to be able to stuff the takedowns, he might be looking to strike off the takedown attempts.
Okay. And Francisco, what's your take on this?
He's had some time.
10 months.
Yes, he's had some time. And that's a pretty long time for you to get ready for a guy like Aljamain.
Because he got embarrassed against Jan, too. So that's people's last image of him wrestling.
Right. But that's the thing. All those things give him experience. Even though some felt he didn't win the fight, it gave him the experience that he's going to need against Aljamain. He's got he's had a lot of time to work on those deficiencies, like Slater said over there. So yeah.
Now, in my opinion, I like to also look at the psyche, the mental side of things. Man, call me a hometowner, call me a homer, but Aljamain Sterling, I just feel like he smells something that nobody else is when it comes to Sean O'Malley, and obviously it comes down to the fighter more than anybody. Terrence Crawford's whole team could be telling him he's going to win. If Crawford doesn't believe it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I feel like Aljamain Sterling is just has this boy shook. I just listened to, I think, Kenny Florian and John Attic. They were saying, you know, Aljamain Sterling's not that great on the mic. When he beat Henry Cejudo in New Jersey and Sean O'Malley stepped in the cage and he's like, get out my cage, bitch. I thought he won the night on the mic. I was like, hell yeah. I go,
you know who I thought won the mic? I thought Izzy won it when he confronted Duplessis. That was the best mic performance I've ever heard in my life.
Dude, that was insane. That was insane.
You always tell me about that.
That was outrageous.
That was insane.
I don't understand who put him up to that one, but goddamn. Anyway. Wow.
But my point is, do you guys believe Sean O'Malley shook, or is just it's maybe he's just feeling that championship nerves? He's never gone five rounds. He's never fought for a title. He's a main event on a pay-per-view, not a fight night, not a co-main event. He's a main event on a pay-per-view. You think Aljo's got his mind in the bag already?
You know what? That's a very, very good point. You know, another part of that is like he has all this hype behind him as a personality, you know?
Of course. And
the pressure of walking into the ring with all of that attention on you, it really adds up into something. And I feel like Aljamain Sterling, like, he's in there to win a fight, you know? It isn't about, like, his viewership. He doesn't give a shit. Like, he's there to win a fight. I feel like it's a little more – everything surrounding the fight is a little more important for Sean O'Malley. So I feel like he's definitely got more nerves walking into the ring than the defending champion's going to, right?
100%. For me, and I'll give him full freaking credit Monday morning if he pulls this off, because he's still doing the cutesy videos. He's taking the hit of the joint. He's pretending he's hitting focus mitts. He's taking the hit of the joint, doing funny dances, funny music. I'm like, dude, stop with that shit. I go, like, completely focused. Stop with that. If he wins, he pulls it off, and that's just his personality, I'll give him credit. But Francisco, what are you seeing from Sean O'Malley on Instagram, in the press conferences, in the lead up to this? You think he shook?
You know, it's hard to get in the psyche of these fighters, what's really going on. Aljamain is Aljamain. I think Aljamain gets a bit hype and nervous before these fights. That's why he's talking crazy. You understand? He's like all in these fighters' faces. He's trying to get that edge. Now, he's talked about moving up. You know, he's already ready to exit the weight class. So, who knows what's going to happen? You know, maybe he knows something we don't know. We'll find out, because usually when fighters win or lose, we'll find out. If he loses, we'll find out some kind of excuse for it and why he might want to move up or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when I start hearing that, I'm like, win this fight first and then talk about moving up. I say, you know, it's almost like when you talk retirement before retiring, win the fight first and then retire.
That's
you
a know, good point.
Khabib didn't tell us he was retiring, right? Until he
won.
Then he said, I'm done. And that was it.
So let me spin this forward to Francisco. I love that you laid that out. Aljamain Sterling, he is dabbling, or he's been very evident, very outspoken about moving up, that it's Marab's time. And you also see this factor that he's turned around this camp fast. I'm trying to look at the positives. Maybe he didn't balloon up so much, but they're also wear and tear. He went five rounds with a guy who no doubt was coming to kill him and get the win against Henry Cejudo just 2 months ago, maybe 2 months and 2 weeks ago in New Jersey. He also is fighting in Boston, Dana White's hometown, a well-known Irish community. Sean O'Malley, I assume, is Irish as well. This could be a potential, like, a Conor McGregor support from the crowd. Francisco, is Aljamain Sterling dealing with more than he is thinking on his plate, or is he going to just use that fuel that he's taking on short notice? I don't care how much extra they're paying him.
It's a quick turnaround. Sean
O'Malley in Boston. Is he using that as fuel, or is he going to step in there tonight and say, like, man, I'm exhausted. This is hitting me now. What are your thoughts on the Aljamain psyche side of things?
It's a quick turnaround. I get it. But he does balloon up. Did you see him? Did you see? I think he showed a video or something about how much weight he gained. Like, I'm talking about a week after the fight.
He becomes a welterweight.
Dude, he was like 170, 180 pounds. What the hell? He puts on weight like this. I mean, I don't know what he does. He eats up. I mean, he becomes a fat kid after a fight. So he does balloon up, and he does have to cut a lot of weight. So it's one of those things where, you know, I don't. As far as cutting weight, he does have to cut a lot of weight.
I don't know what he's for you, Matt.
I don't know what his starting weight is, but he does have to cut a lot of weight regardless.
I was just going to ask that, Francisco. Do we even know what he walks around at? Because he cuts a lot. He really does. He's skin and bones.
It's probably 180, maybe 190. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that came up. I was looking at some of the other fights, and there's this guy, Rodriguez, fighting at middleweight. And this guy's 6'3". He's one of the biggest middleweights I've ever seen. He's gigantic. But I'm sitting there, and I'm wondering how much this guy had to cut. He looks like he's walking around at 220. He's dropping down. Like, it's just this. I wrestled for many years. I've done some pretty insane weight cuts. I used to wrestle at like 130, cut down from like 152.
Yeah, wrestlers cut a lot of weight.
Yeah. And like, the exhaustion that sets in, you're real, real tired. And if your camp knows how to do it properly, like, you can conserve a lot more energy. So when you start talking about these dramatic weight cuts, it's like, is it really a bad thing? Not necessarily if you're going about it the right way. But if you're ballooning up by like 30 pounds a week later, you probably cut a little too much water weight. Like, you're probably all kinds of fucking dehydrated and just.
I think cutting weight makes you weak regardless.
And it does.
I cut weight myself, and I know that when you're cutting weight too fast, you lose a lot of muscle. Mm-hmm. That causes you to get weaker. This is why not putting on too much weight after a fight is the most effective way to combat that, right? You cut weight slowly, you get the weight down slowly, and you feel a lot better than cutting 10, 20, 30 pounds, you know, before a fight. I mean, 10 pounds is one thing, but 20 to 30 pounds before a fight, and in like 6 weeks, that's 6 to 8 weeks, let's say, that's kind of fast, and you lose a lot of, you know, strength behind that.
So one of my boxing clients has a fight on the 23rd with Flex Fights, by the way, guys. So
nice.
Put that down in the books if you guys are curious about that.
Nice.
Guy came into the gym at 292. And the weight class is, it's 265, right? So it's like, what do you think my plan to get this guy to the weight that he wanted to compete at was? And it's, over the course of a year, he's lost a pound or two a week, and he's walking around at 172 or 272 now. So, like, it's a 5 pound cut, which like anybody can do in their sleep, you know. Right. 5 pound cut's nothing. So,
right.
When the week comes up, we're gonna do a quick cut 4 days early and hold the weight. It's easy,
right?
And then he'll rehydrate fight night, and he'll be ready to go. And it's not. If you do it the right way, it's not that dramatic a thing. But like, if I had made that dude try to cut 30 pounds 2 weeks before his fight, he never would have made weight, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. And even if they do make weight, it just weakens the fighter.
Yeah, exactly. Like I wanted him to be as physically empowered as possible walking into this ring. So I told him, bit by bit, we cut down on that fat and we build up the lean muscle. That's like functional lean muscle. You don't need big arms and shit. You need like
you don't.
Muscles for competition. Right. People don't understand this shit.
Right.
Speaking of weight cutting, I don't know if you guys have heard this mythical story that Chris Weidman got the call on 10 days notice to face Damian Maia, and he had to cut 34 pounds. Ray Longo was ready to pull out of the fight when he saw Chris on the sauna. They said that he was like 7 pounds over. Then he tried to cut weight, and then he came out of the sauna, he was 9 pounds over, and they're like, I think his body's like fighting this weight cut. Eventually he made the weight, beat Maia, and obviously we know the run he's going on. But spinning this forward to another Long Islander who Matt better be going with full-heartedly. I don't care about the health of the sport. I'm worried about the health of his legs. You guys believe you guys believe Chris Weidman is going to throw a leg kick, his first strike back in the cage? I was joking around in the gym yesterday. I was joking around in the gym yesterday. We all know how much he trains Wonder Boy. I believe somebody is dating somebody or married to somebody in their family. But imagine just fake a calf kick and do one of those question mark kicks, and he knocks out Tavares in the first strike. That would be magical. Well, what are you guys' thoughts about Chris Weidman coming back?
Sounds like a Cinderella story.
Yes. Thank you. There you go.
Yeah. I honestly don't expect much. He's been out for so long from an injury like that. And he was already on the decline. It's not like he was on the upside. It's wishful thinking. That little scenario you just gave there, that was, yeah.
So there's no scenario where, okay, his leg is shattered. His shin is shattered, but his knees get to rest. His shoulders get to rest. His wrists get to rest. He gets to like recover and relax for 2 years. No,
this is fighting, bro. Fighting, you have to. Yeah, fighting, you have to be. Okay,
no disrespect, but it's Brad Tavares, man.
Yeah,
it's a fair matchup.
I look, man. So Chris Weidman was one of my wrestling coaches at a clinic I used to go to at Nassau Community College. Like, I know that.
You're going to give me the whole political answer?
Look, he's a great guy. I love it. I don't know what the fuck he is doing stepping back into the ring at 40 years old, coming off an injury like that and barely training for years. Like,
He doesn't want to let it go. Look, he's...
And I understand that, but come on.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. All right, then you guys are like my friend. I was watching that night, I think UFC 261, 263, something. All of a sudden that happens, and my friend's like, oh, he's done. Retire.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? That's the All-American. It's Captain America.
What was he, 37 years old when he broke his leg?
He might be 37 now. Let me.
I think he's actually 40 now.
He said 40. I was like, he's not wearing Hawaiian shirts yet. 39. Okay.
Who you think taught me this style?
No, I have a ton of Hawaiian shirts, but I just wish I had one right now. I wish I was wearing one. That's it. I feel like excluded right now.
Dude, next time Paisley. How about that?
What the hell's that?
Paisley? You don't know what Paisley patterns are?
Is that like leaves?
I got lots of nice shirts.
I got the leaves.
We're gonna have to borrow some from him.
Yeah. I'll send you guys some in the mail.
Dustin Poirier pulls off he's gone full Hawaiian shirt.
It's definitely a vibe.
But Chris Weidman is 39. Okay, not 37, not 40, but 39. He's knocking on the door of 40. That's a great call by you.
When you break bones after your mid-30s, they do not heal like they did in your early life. Like, your bones take a lot longer to heal. They never repair the same way. Like, he was done, bro.
I'm not saying he's done because of the injury. I'm saying he's done because this is fighting. Yeah, I just don't expect him to look like the old Chris Weidman.
Does he win? Does he win a boring decision at the minimum?
Nah. I don't think so.
It's hard to even tell. I can't even make that prediction being based on what I haven't seen from him.
Meanwhile, I told you last night, I said Weidman's going to knock him out in the first round.
You must,
I
like
mean, here's Mark. The hope, and I hope that happens. But I was watching Tavares. Like, I feel like he's probably going to land an overhand, right? I was looking at the way he likes to approach his striking. I feel like Chris Weidman's wide open for that shit. Historically, as bad,
he has to know what he's up against with Weidman. He has to know that Weidman's been out, coming back from an injury.
And like
why, if he loses to Weidman tonight, bro, he might as well hang it up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you know what? Yeah, dude, he's 35. Like,
he might as well say, yo, I can't beat a guy coming off an injury. I'm 39 years old. You know, I mean, come on. And he's had a string of losses. Come on.
All right. Yeah, well, I agree with that. I'm letting you guys know, bet the underdog, which is Chris Weidman. I think he gets it done. I talked about those mental warriors. Believe it or not, I don't know. Anybody who games, I think, can, like, level up. Like, he's a big gamer. I think he won, like, an ESPN Madden bracket a couple of years back.
Get out of here.
He beat Cormier, Snoop Dogg, I think Adrian Foster, Melvin Gordon, a couple of, like, NFL players. So, yeah, he's going to bring that game in mind. I think he levels up, man. It's like, and you're around Stephen Wonderboy Thompson that long? Come on. Get your striking on par with the wrestling already.
I'll say this. I don't have any questions regarding his mental toughness. Like, he's an extremely tough dude mentally. Like, I'm going to give him that one 100%. Like, I don't think that's an issue for him. I think that's a big issue for every other fighter we've discussed.
Chris is an animal. It's just the animal's been taken out of him.
Yeah, you know, right. Like, so my point is, be the Sean O'Malley. Be that, like, intricate thinker, Fortnite type of sniper mode. Like, that dude. Like, don't be the animal anymore. Be the thinker.
Well, of course, thinkers are always the greater fighters, you know, but he's an animal. And the animal, like I said, he doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't have that it factor that he had that made him the champion he was, right?
I love that. Now, I'm going to steal that, man. Seriously. Are you more of a thinker this fight or an animal? I love that, Francisco, and I will never give you credit. I will interview everybody, and I will never give you credit. I stole it. I like that. The animal versus the fighter.
It's terrible.
We got two guys that are animals and thinkers in Ian Garry.
I would give you an example of an animal, animal who's a thinker, right? So the rematch.
I'm animal thinker.
No, but think about this.
Adesanya?
No, Ike. The rematch with Poirier and Gaethje. Who was the animal and the thinker?
Wow, that's a great call.
Nice. Nice.
It was a different fight, right?
Yes. You know, when you say that, it reminds me of the Lyoto Machida era. Like, you want to talk about a thinker? That guy was a thinker.
I'm saying that. Joe Rogan, the Machida era, it lasted one fight. We have now entered the much. Oh, it was over by the time he said it.
That's fucking hilarious. Yeah,
true.
But great call, Francisco. Great call.
What a tactical thinker, man.
So, yeah, it was a different fight. You know, Gaethje was more of a thinker in that fight than he was in his first fight, of course.
Yeah,
100%. Because Poirier tagged him, and I was like, uh-oh. I go, Gaethje's going to come out of the game plan. Trevor Whitman's going to lose his mind. But, no, he reset.
You know when I saw the difference in Gaethje? When he fought Ferguson.
I was just going to say that. That was, like, the turning point in Gaethje's career.
He became a different fighter. And I mean, losing to Khabib, you can't blame him. Who doesn't? But he's become a better fighter since that Ferguson
fight. I think what the Ferguson fight taught him, like, because again, like, that was, in my opinion, the most brutal bit of combat sports I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen somebody take a fucking beating like ever.
Ferguson was never the same.
No. Oh. No. But what really, like, I think what Gaethje pulled from that is, like, oh man, I can hit this guy as hard as I possibly want for 25 minutes and he's not going to go down. But if I take my time and land a clean shot, fight's over in 2 minutes.
Strategy, bro. Yeah. Very strategic.
The precision came up, the way he thinks about the fight game. I think
footwork, his jab, his movement. You know, I was like, wow, what's going on here?
Yeah, he definitely looked way better after the Ferguson fight. Great eye. Yeah.
Yeah. Trevor Whitman was giving him a lot of credit for, like, I think even in the corner during that fight, he goes like, you're tagging him, man. Just keep doing what you're doing. Like, don't, like, go for the home run. Keep getting the single, the base hit. And eventually he won the game, chopped down the tree.
Bro, he broke him down.
Yeah. Dude, that's one of the few times, like, Ferguson looked like a wounded wolf. Like, you saw him, like, like
that was, yeah.
Dude, Herb Dean, like, that, yeah, that was, like, what?
That was the first and only time I've ever looked at a fight and been like, the ref should have stopped this 3 rounds ago. Like, and again, like, credit to Ferguson for having that chin, but, like, I think he has brain damage after that. Like, I think his whole brain is wrong after that beating.
And then the fucking the
he want to quit, but he quit. You know that, right? Ferguson, he did quit. He didn't concede. Like, he didn't really show it. But he was, when he shook his head like that, he was really.
I'm pretty sure he had fractured his orbital, like, early on in, like, the third round. His whole shit was just destroyed. And again, like, props to Ferguson, but, like, after you take a beating like that, dude, time to hang it up, you know? Like, it's over. Like, you don't come back from those things.
He's done.
Yeah.
Too many injuries, too much, you know, punishment that he's taken. He's done.
Well, and I'm trying to think of other fighters that took that one shot that was just too much. And I'm coming back to Mirko Krokop and Gabriel Gonzaga. Whoa. And that head kick broke his ankle.
Yeah, that head kick.
He fought a couple times after that, but he was never the same.
And Krokop was a Terminator.
He was the best, super
stoic. Like, guy was an animal.
Well, if I remember correctly, Krokop was like Russian secret forces.
Or Yeah. Joe Rogan spoke about
that. He's a real
stone cold killer. Yeah. No joke.
Yeah. And after you take a shot like that, it breaks you. It changes your entire functionality in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you can't sleep on that shit. And, like, again, it's not always just getting hit. It's like when you throw that kick and break your leg, like, it changes the way you think about what is it I'm doing to my body when I strike out.
This is why you got to look at guys like GSP who lost by knockout, was able to come back and reassess his career, where most fighters don't get to do that. Most fighters don't get that. And that's what makes GSP the GOAT.
I think a big part of that was how young he was when it happened. You know, he was still young, and it gives you this window to bounce back.
Yeah, like, you're right.
So important. Still young.
And he had just won the title, right? He had just won.
I mean, we could make a comparison to Aljamain Sterling. He was flatlined. It was supposed to be a head kick, but it was like a high knee.
Marais
hit him against Marais. That was like prime Marais, man. That's when he was fighting Henry Cejudo for the title. And that was six years ago. So Aljamain Sterling was six. He's 34. He was 28. Like you said, Matt, that was enough time. Like GSP, I think he was 27, 28. Enough time to reset and correct course.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And again, like the big point I'm trying to make is this idea that, like, so big point that we talk about in wrestling is mentally breaking your opponent. You want to be heavy on them. You want to grind them down with your forehead. You want to be imposing upon them. Even if they're stronger, like, I'm digging my forehead into your cheekbone. I'm going to make it as uncomfortable as possible, because eventually you're going to feel something that's so uncomfortable. You don't want me to do that anymore. And I've won. I win right there, because now you're something I can set you up. And that shit, that's a mental edge that sticks with you after the moment. Like, you can roll with a guy a year later after you bust their cheek with your forehead. Guy doesn't want your face anywhere near his face anymore. He's shooting from the outside. It's like you've completely broken this guy's mental forever. Yeah.
I've been the hammer and the nail with the jaw wrestling. Like, mm-hmm. when they're like head position. Like, I was like, yeah, this jiu-jitsu guy doesn't know about that. I got he's going to feel my forehead. But then I've been on the other side where guys had a shaved head, arm sleeve tattoos. I think he's done time. And then he's grinding his head. I go, oh, man, this sucks. This freaking sucks.
Yep.
It does stick with you. I do remember.
Did he have like stubbles that it makes his head?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, give you razor burn on the side of your.
exactly. Francisco's a dirty fighter. He knows.
Yeah, I mean, hey, shit, we're there to win, right? Like,
tell you.
Dude, Matt, you know about Francisco. Have you been on the jiu-jitsu mats?
A bit. not as much as you guys, but I have tasted the canvas.
Dude, you would do work. You're a strong dude. You seem like you got a good center of gravity. You'd be freaking butterfly sweeping.
I grappled with a guy who I don't know what belt he had, but he actually, after we
was
grappled,
it a Calvin Klein? Was it a Hugo Boss?
It was Gucci, baby. Gucci. And he actually said that to me afterwards, that, you know, he was not able to do certain things because of my strength, you know. So yeah.
Now, this is unbiased. This is not prompted. Matt, I'm not even going to look at the camera. Matt has done wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and boxing. Matt, in your opinion, which one is the biggest thrill or the biggest high out of?
Oh, well, striking. I mean, the biggest high
son is of a bitch. Out of striking. Jiu-jitsu.
No, you know, like, look, don't get me wrong. I love the sensation of jiu-jitsu. I love rolling around. I like the tactical thought of it all. But, like, if you want to rush, somebody's throwing a shot at your base and you're dodging it. Like, that's where you get that rush.
Well, if you look at guys who are, you know, black belts, right? And whatever, right? They look at Anderson Silva, right? Knockouts, right? You don't want to grapple. Grappling takes a lot out of you. You know what I'm saying? You just knock a guy out, bang. And that's why those guys, you know, they figured out, hey, it's easier for me to knock somebody out than to grapple with them. So why do it?
Well, it's like I'll spar 36 minutes and I'm not even in good shape right now. I'll spar 36 minutes. I'm okay to do it. 6 minutes wrestling, I'm gassed. 20 minutes doing BJJ, I'm done, you know?
It's like weightlifting, bro.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
it's a totally different thing. And it's like the energy consumption, you nailed it. It's like wrestlers are in such good shape and you're not going to really break that guy's tank, you know? So you got to drop him. You got to drop him.
Got to knock him out.
And again, that's like that's why that Khabib is the GOAT thing is what it is. Like that Sambo shit, the way he
played, bro, those guys,
perfect.
Those Russians, bro, they're different breed, bro.
And Dagestanis, bro.
I know
those guys eat rocks, bro. Do you know that shit, bro?
I believe it. I fucking believe
it's not fruity pebbles, bro.
They're just
fucking rocks, bro. Those guys are like carne. You're like, oh, what are you eating over there?
Dude, that's a great quote. Those guys eat rock.
Seriously, fucking.
Seriously, bro. You check their blood, they don't got lead. They got rocks in their blood, bro. They don't...
Oh, my God. Do they put salt at least on the rock?
Yo, you know, you ever heard that story? You don't want to run into a guy in the dark. You ever heard that story? You don't want to run into a guy in a dark alley. Khabib is one of those guys, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Because nobody's going to save you.
Oh, you bring up a great point, because this point stuck with me when I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, Matt and I were just talking, and then Matt brings up, and then Francisco last night on the phone, you bring up, you're like, yo, Khabib is not somebody you want to run into. And then Matt brings up this story. And this
Okay. So I was dating a Belarusian girl like a year and a half ago, right?
Dude, the Hawaiian shirts work, man. He gets it in.
I move around a little bit. But anyway, I'm talking to this girl. We're hanging out. And, you know, she's from Belarus. She reads Russian newspapers. And I bring up Khabib and, like, everything that's going on with him, how he retired. And she's like, oh, he didn't really retire. Like, he was forced to advocate the sport by the Russian government. And I'm like, what do you mean? Apparently, Khabib was walking around neighborhoods, going to journalists' homes who would talk shit about him, and beating the fuck out of him. Dude, it's published in like dozens of Russian papers. She's like showing me.
Yo, get out of here,
Francisco. Oh, how crazy is that? I go. That's the craziest. That's one of the craziest. I hold
up. Let me tell you. Let me tell you something.
Could you imagine? You're a fucking journalist. You're a fucking journalist, and Khabib rolls up. You're just like, Khabib's an asshole, and he just rolls up to the crew.
Fucking Francis Agano showing up.
I've been saying this for a while. This whole Khabib, Allah, whatever, this nice guy is a fraud. Yo, this guy is a kill, stone cold killer, bro.
What are you talking about? You don't think you see how
Herb Dean had to pry his arms off of Conor, bro, when he was choking him out, bro? He was trying to kill Conor, bro.
That's what he's telling you. These journalists, don't talk shit. That's a great lesson.
I mean, there's that infamous clip of him just standing over the top of Connor, hitting him, and just screaming, "Let's talk now,
bro!"
Let's
talk now. Yeah, like, bro, we're talking about mentally breaking someone. That guy is a hitman, bro.
He
He's a killer, bro.
Well, and that's how I feel about Aaron Helwani.
He's like, let's talk now. He's like, I was just looking for a quote. Well,
the best thing that could have happened to that division was Khabib retiring. I'm telling you, he was still he would be having guys' heads like this. He'd be holding on to their heads like, he's a barbarian, bro, for real. He is like Conan the Barbarian. He's a stone cold killer.
He really is.
My God.
Yo, and you can see it in the eyes. Like, there are some fighters you look at, and it's
Let me tell you something. There's John Jones, you know, talk about the GOATs and all these. But this Khabib is he's not those guys, bro. He is the most stoic athlete in MMA that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he was nuts. He was.
He's a rookie. He's a
But like, I swear to God, I look at Chimaev and I just see those eyes and I'm just like, that guy is going to actually kill somebody. In one day.
I kill everybody.
Him? Oh, he's crazy. He's crazy too. That guy, he's like the guy with the bomb.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's the kamikaze guy. This guy is crazy. Yeah. He's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, he definitely is crazy because apparently he just didn't get the opportunity, but he could have been an Olympic wrestler to represent Chechnya or Dagestan, one of those countries. Like, he's that good. And he's like
Chimaev?
Yeah. And he's obviously undefeated at MMA, but it's like when he got tagged by Gilbert Burns, that dude saw red. There was
that fight showed that even though they were giving him shit for it, you know, because he didn't look as dominant as he looked, right? But it showed his tenacity, right? He took a shot and he was like, you know, like he kept coming. I mean, yeah, there was holes in his game, but he showed he had the mentality to get through it.
And all credit in the world to Gilbert Burns during that fight. Gilbert Burns showed a fucking heart of a warrior that night.
He sure did too, yeah. Gilbert, yeah, for sure.
Gilbert Burns reminds me of like the Brazilian Bisping, like career-rated.
But there's a difference though, right?
I totally agree.
Gilbert Burns has been broken.
Yes.
The
Kamaru Usman fight, man.
Yeah.
Like that was one of my favorite fights. Like I was so impressed with Gilbert Burns, but you can see towards like the end of the fourth, Gilbert Burns is like, I can't win this. Like I've
yeah.
lost.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he made it to the finish line, but he was
there. Yeah.
Incredible. I feel like we could talk for 3 hours. Folks, potentially we might be hosting a fight companion for Francis Ngannou, Tyson Fury. A lot of pizza, even though Francisco wants to keep his 8-pack and his physique intact.
Shit, I ain't rocking an 8-pack now, bro. I'm going to have to cut some weight.
Over under 4.
You know?
Over
2
under
pounds
4.
A week, brother.
What do we got? What pack are we at? We had a
4. I say 4.
That means 3.
That means 3, yeah.
Ladies,
I'm right there with you, brother.
He's got a 3-pack.
That's it.
But the last fight, and spinning it back again, thank you, Francisco. Thank you, Matt, for the time. This is fantastic. Spinning it back to the animal versus the thinker. I believe one man's animal is bigger than the other. I believe that Ian Garry has that fire a little higher than Neil Magny, but you can't underestimate Neil Magny, the most winningest, that's a real word. The most winning welterweight fighter of all time. I believe he's post animal career phase. Now he's the thinker. So who wins, the chess player or the swordsman? Ian Garry versus Neil Magny. Matt, take it away.
Okay, a 25-year-old with a real judo background.
He's only 25?
Huh?
Ian's only 25?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
12-0, 25 years old, judo fucking master. Like, you want to see good judo? And again, like, back to the Dagestanis, I don't know how his judo holds up against like somebody at that level.
Yeah,
but against everybody else, I think it's really, really serious judo. And what makes it so threatening is if you're engaged in this push and pull with a judo guy, every time you break the clinch, he's open to strike. So you're going to see Gary, like he's had a lot of luck so far, exploiting that dirty boxing out of a clinch, right? So I think the only way that he runs into any problem is if he lets Magny overpower him. I think Magny's stronger significantly. But he's older, so I don't think he's going to be able to keep that up. So as long as Gary is smart about his judo, he uses his hips to kind of rotate rather than engage directly, I think he's going to win out on everything in this fight.
What are your thoughts, Frankie?
Yeah, Magny's, you know, he's just one of those guys that always falls short in the biggest events. So I don't see him beating his kid. Just like Slater said over there, he's got judo, he's got dirty boxing. He's gonna make it a rough night for Magny for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like Magny has a really bad habit of overextending his arms and trying to drive into clinches. And I feel like Gary's just gonna bah, 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 every time he reaches for it, and then he's gonna take the clinch and throw his ass.
Now Magny is a veteran, you know, but you know, and he'll exploit that. He'll try to exploit that if you're not careful. But I don't think I think he's already long in the tooth. I don't think
he's knocking out Magny though.
I honestly,
Magny is not easy to knock out. So yeah.
He's really not. That guy's got a hell of a chin. And honestly, I don't really know about Gary's power yet. Still need to see a little bit more before I can make a solid judgment on that.
Yeah. I think it's hard to read. Like how much power does he have? How does he do against the clinch? How does he do if he throws everything he's got and Magny's still there? Big stage, Boston stage. I'm sure the whole UK is going to be representing there. It's very smart booking by the UFC. And Neil Magny's taking this on short notice, right?
Yep. He hopped in for Jeff Neal, right?
Right. So it's like from one Neal to another Neal.
Yeah. Back-to-back Neals.
The UFC is trying to
– get in the head.
The UFC is trying to put these guys on a diving board with Sean O'Malley and Ian Garry, put them on the stage. You know, nobody's going to see the short-notice fight. Nobody's going to see Aljamain Sterling making a quick turnaround. They just want these guys, the whole Fortnite audience, to see these guys get put on a bigger platform. So and what do you guys final thoughts – takeaways from tonight's fights? Any final predictions? Because I know Matt's got to head to the beach.
Yeah, I gotta get boogie while the sun's still up, guys.
Is that a girl crawling out of your window? Come on, Matt, drive her home.
I mean, she is texting me. It's one of those days. I want to say that this card is full of just absolutely fucking washed up fighters. it is what it is, man.
Like, it was a fight card recently that was like that.
Yeah, well, because like it's the end of an era, man. Like it's over. It's time to start putting your eyes on these younger guys that are coming up. Like, what the hell is that? Like 19-year-old kid's name, like Rojas or some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Rosa.
Yeah.
What I'm excited about. Like, I want to see more of that shit. You remember Carlos Newton getting slammed on his head by Matt Hughes? Dude was 25 years old when that happened. End of his career.
I don't remember that fight.
It's history at this point, but it's just like, I want to see these young people coming up and capturing. I don't think that Sean O'Malley really has what it's going to take that belt off of Aljamain Sterling. I think Weidman is going to lose. I think Magny is going to lose. I think these old fighters are done.
How about Marlon Vera?
My takeaway here.
How about the Marlon Vera fight?
I like Vera in that.
I think that's got fight of the night written all over it. I think that's going to be a fucking banger. Really, really good question. But again, like I feel like fucking Cheeto's getting old too.
Yeah.
I feel like they're all just so old now. It's like, and again, I get it. I love these fucking guys, but like Aldo retiring last year was like, took like a deep sigh of relief. I was like, I don't need to watch this guy take any more damage.
Yeah, you know? Aldo, he's boxing forever. Yeah.
What an absolute beast. And I love him for everything he did for the sport, but it's like, you need to sit down.
I think what happens with the UFC is that they try to keep those names that were hot at one point as long as possible until they, you know, until they can't anymore, you know, until they run them up the mill.
I think that's built on like Randy Couture's like later life success. Like he was winning titles at 43 years old.
Right.
Like, And again, it's fucking Randy Couture, guys. Like, not everybody built like that.
He's like the Bernard Hopkins.
Right. Yeah.
There are two people in the whole fucking sport that have longevity like that. You know what I mean? So I don't know why people are still pushing this. Let's fight when we're 38. Like, no.
And he did start late. Like, I think Couture started at 31, 33, yeah. Something like that.
Did he really?
Cormier,
even for starting late, he still did. I mean,
he was an all-American. Didn't he win the NCAAs or some shit?
Yeah, and then he went to the Air Force, and it was like 7 years till he came back to combat or something. Or he was boxing in the Air Force or the Navy.
He's doing everything.
That guy's a sick fuck, man.
Wrestling, baby.
I miss Randy Couture.
Yeah, Cormier too, I think, started at 31, like doing MMA, Strikeforce, but. Frankie, what are your takeaways? You see Munoz Vera as a craziness? Is that you?
Yes, I sure. That's what I mentioned it. You know, it's looks like a fight of the night, hopefully. I mean, it looks like it. I mean.
I'm very excited for the local boys, obviously, and I want to see what this guy, Ian Garry, can do on a big stage. But Matt's got to get to the beach. Francisco's got to do some push-ups. Rip that shirt. Stop lifting, Francisco. You're making us all look bad.
You're too strong over there, Francisco.
But
sorry.
We got at M Slater MMA on Twitter. And can you spell out Frankie? I've been searching for it on Twitter, Francisco.
Wait a second. You don't know how to spell Frankie? I mean,
is it with a Y or IE?
With an IE. With an I.
Frankie
the real Frankie 360? Knuckles.
Oh, real
at Frankie. Knuckles _360.
Okay, this is way different. At Knuckles _360.
No, I think it's Knuckles 360.
Knuckles 360.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a
because real... I couldn't repeat the name again for some reason. It just wouldn't let me do it, so I ended up just changing the
All right, now I got to restart the outro bit. What the hell is this called? At Knuckles 360.
At Knuckles 360. Yeah.
Come on, stop lying.
Yeah.
I'm gonna add you too, Francisco.
Huh?
I'm gonna add you too, brother.
Okay, thanks, bro.
Moose Knuckle 360 doesn't exist.
Moose Knuckles.
Moose Knuckles.
Frankie Knuckles. All right.
Yes, it's okay. No, let me give you the precise name.
Oh my god! I gotta restart it again.
Stop! Because I just made this up. All right, so relax. It's the real Frankie Knuckles at. Real Knuckles 360.
At Real Knuckles.
Oh, my God. There we go, folks. X.com.
Real Knuckles.
No. Yes. Gotcha. You got two followers. Oh, you're being followed? Oh, by a boxing guy. Okay.
Yeah, that's my guy, Mariano. He's with a company called CS Boxing and MMA. They do MMA also.
Nice. All right, maybe we could get Mariano on.
They're from Connecticut. It's a boxing promoter, and he's doing mixed martial arts also.
Might know my guy Nick Newell up there. He's kind of big in the MMA scene. He's got one arm.
Nick's the man.
Okay,
you know Nick?
I've interviewed him once, and he goes to Flex to
coach. Yep, he works with Machi. Yep,
good dude. All right, I'm going to continue the outro, Ben. Love you guys.
Yeah. No, this was a lot of fun, guys. Let's definitely do this again, man.
Yeah, love man. You guys.
Sure.
Enjoy the fight.
Right. Peace.
Nice, guys.